Well, good morning again. It's a joy to be able to bring you God's Word again on this Human Rights Day. We're going to be talking a little bit later on about the greatest human that ever walked the face of this earth. Let's have a word of prayer as we begin our time together. We thank you, Lord, for, again, your wonderful Word to us. We thank you for all the truth that it is and contains. We continue to pray, Lord, that you would help us to grasp it, appreciate it, and reflect it as well in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray that, for his sake. Amen. Well, we've come to the end of chapter 2, and today we're reading the first few verses of chapter 3 in the book of Hebrews. Our series is called It's All About Jesus, and I'm reading the first 6 verses of chapter 3. Therefore, holy brothers, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest, whom we confess. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of the house has a great honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, testifying to what would be said in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are his house if we hold onto all our courage and the hope of which we boast. If I said the phrase, I am the greatest, who or what would come to mind? I imagine most of you would say Muhammad Ali, the professional boxing personality formerly known as Cassius Clay. Because he used this phrase about himself. The story is described in Wikipedia like this. It says, by late 1963, Clay had become a top contender for Sonny Liston's title. The fight was set for February 25th, 1964, in Miami Beach. Liston was an intimidating personality, a dominating fighter with a criminal past and ties to the mob. Clay was a 71 underdog. Despite this, Clay taunted Liston during the pre-fight build-up. He dubbed him the Big Ugly Bear, stating, Liston, you even smell like a bear, and claiming, after I beat him, I'm going to donate him to the zoo. He certainly wasn't afraid of talking, was he? Well, the outcome of the fight was a major upset. At the opening bell, Liston rushed at Clay, seemingly angry, and looked for a quick knockout. However, Clay's superior speed and mobility enabled him to elude Liston, making the champion miss and look awkward. At the end of the first round, Clay opened up his attack and hit Liston repeatedly with jabs. Liston fought better in round 2, but at the beginning of round 3, Clay hit Liston with a combination that buckled his knees and opened a cut above his left eye. This was the first time Liston had ever been cut. At the end of round 4, Clay returned to his corner with a experiencing blinding pain in his eyes and asked his trainer, Angelo Dundee, to cut off his gloves. Dundee refused. It had been speculating that the problem was due to ointment used to seal Liston's cuts, perhaps deliberately applied to the corner of his glasses. Well, despite Liston's attempt to knock out a blinded Clay, Clay was able to survive the 5th round until sweat and tears rinsed the irritation from his eyes. In the 6th round, Clay dominated, hitting Liston repeatedly. Liston did not answer the bell for the 7th round, and Clay was declared the winner with a technical knockout. Liston stated that the reason he quit was that he had injured his shoulder. Following the win, a triumphant Clay rushed to the edge of the ring and pointed to the ringside press, shouted, "Eat your words," he said. He added, "I am the greatest. I shook up the world. I'm the prettiest thing that ever lived." Well, what a claim. Now, let me say, in religious circles, Moses is the heavyweight champion. If anyone could say, "I am the greatest" as a religious leader, surely it was Moses. After all, he confronted the leader of the most powerful nation on earth at that time. It would be like somebody going to speak to the American president or the Chinese president and telling them off. He performed 42 miracles compared to Jesus's 31 to 36 while on earth, if you just look at the ones recorded in the Bible. He saved a nation from a marauding army. There was an army bearing down on the nation, ready to destroy them all, and of course he parted the Red Sea. He delivered the law of God. He gave us the Ten Commandments. Of all the things in the world, that's religious friends, people probably know more about the Ten Commandments than they even know about Jesus. He left a congregation of about 2 million people. Not too shabby for the day in which he lived in. And on top of that, he was the leader of a nation for 40 years. Quite a record, wasn't it? Surely he could say, "I am the greatest." Yet, friends, according to the writer of the book of Hebrews, there is only one who can truly say, "I am the greatest." Well, who's that? Well, only Jesus can truly say, "I am the greatest." First of all, because of all he did in providing salvation. In verse 1 of chapter 3, it says, "Therefore, holy brothers, who share in the holy calling." Of course, in trying to understand the Bible, when we were being taught how to interpret the Bible, we got this message. Whenever you get a therefore, there must be a wherefore or a what went before. You see, over the last 3 weeks, friends, we've been seeing why Jesus should be given all the glory. Well, we noticed over the last 3 weeks, he should be given all the glory, first of all, because he restored our creation destiny. Secondly, because he redeemed us for a salvation destiny. And thirdly, Jesus arose after dying as our representative in our place, justifying us to be adopted as God's children. Friends, the wherefore of the therefore is simply that Jesus is the one who should be the one who receives all the glory. He, friends, is the one who is providing salvation. He can say, "I'm the greatest," because of all he has done to provide salvation. We saw that over the last 3 weeks. Now to get to the real meat of this passage. Number two, only Jesus can truly say, "I'm the greatest," because he's a greater messenger than Moses. Verse 1 says, "Holy brothers who share in the heavenly caller, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle." Well, friends, the apostle, the word apostle means one who is sent. This is the only reference to Jesus as an apostle in the Bible. Although the task of being an apostle is spoken of in John chapter 17 and verse 3, it says this, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent," whom you have apostled. You see, friends, why is this so important? It's important because Moses is also spoken of one who is sent. We read in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 10, God says to Moses, "So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." Moses had a great task, friend. He was sent as God's messenger to Pharaoh. But friends, there are a number of verses in John's Gospel about Jesus being sent. Let me just read some of them. John chapter 5, verse 36 and 37, it says, "I have testimony far weightier than that of John, for the very work the Father has given me to finish, and which I am doing, testifies that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard this voice, nor seen his form." In John chapter 6 and verse 44, Jesus says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I'll raise him up on the last day." In John chapter 8 and verse 42, Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from the Father and now am here. I have not come on my own. I have been sent." In John chapter 12 and verse 49, Jesus says, "For I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it." John chapter 17 verse 25, "Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know you have sent me." And John chapter 20 and verse 21, it says, again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Friend, Moses was sent. He was sent merely to Pharaoh. Jesus, friend, is the apostle of God. He is the one sent, as he's repeatedly said right through the book of Gospel of John. "I'm sent by the Father. I'm a much greater messenger than Moses could ever have been." So thirdly, only Jesus can truly say, "I am the greatest," because he is a greater representative than Moses. Verse 1 says, "Therefore, brothers who share in this holy calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest, whom we confess." You see, Moses was initially the person between God and the nation of Israel. But there came a point where Aaron became the high priest in order to represent Israel before God and God before Israel. The Bible describes an incredible relationship between Moses and God. But it says this, "Then the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on the rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." You see, friends, the priest is the one who comes before God. And while Moses was an incredible person, while he did act as the high priest initially, there came a point where he was not allowed to see God anymore. But Jesus, friends, Jesus lived in the presence of God. John 1 verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 6 verse 46, no one has seen the Father except the one who is from the Father. Only he has seen the Father. John chapter 8 verse 38, I'm telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do not want what you have heard from the Father. You see, friends, Jesus is in the very presence of God. In John chapter 17, we have what I've called the true Lord's Prayer. Because he prays for himself, then he prays for his disciples, then he prays for all of those who would believe in him, even without seeing him, and that's us. You see, friends, Jesus is the great high priest. We're going to look at this topic in a little more depth later on in the book of Hebrews. But for now, he is greater than Moses because he's a greater high priest than Moses could ever be. While Moses represented God before the nation, there came a point, friends, he was replaced to a certain degree by Aaron. But Jesus, friends, is never replaced as the high priest. Number four. Only Jesus can truly say, I am the greatest, because he is a greater example than Moses. Well, you say, who could ever be a greater example than Moses? Surely such an incredible man. Verse 2 there says this, he was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. You see, friends, Moses was a great servant of God. Yet, he did fail. He failed in many ways. First of all, give me two examples. He failed in not trusting God in his provision of an ability to overcome his speech impediment or speech problem. When commissioned by God, when sent by God, he said to God, I'm too afraid to talk. And God sent him Aaron. Secondly, he failed by not always following the instructions of God. In Numbers chapter 20, there comes a moment where the nation of Israel is stuck without having water. They complain and Moses complains to God, and in the end God says, Numbers chapter 20 verse 8, take the staff and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before the eyes and it will pour out its water. Then a few verses on in verse 11, it says, then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out of it, and the community and the livestock drank. Friend, it's a very subtle difference. God had told Moses to speak, and Moses struck. Friend, for that reason, Moses was not allowed into the promised land. He had disobeyed God in that instruction. Jesus, friends, Jesus is a much better example because he never failed in obedience. In John chapter 6 and verse 38, it says, I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. Matthew 26 and verse 39 says, going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, take this cup away from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. In that beautiful encounter between Jesus and the Samaritan woman, when the disciples come back from town, Jesus says this, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and finish his work. And then in one of the most beautiful passages of scripture, in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8, it says this, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Friends, while Moses failed God and set us not always the best example, Jesus was obedient even to the very last point, even to the point of death. He's the greatest example. Number 5. Only Jesus can say, I am the greatest, because he's a greater builder than Moses. Verse 3 says, Jesus had been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of the house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built is someone, but God is the builder of everything. Friends, Moses was an incredible man. He took a group of broken slaves and turned them into a nation. A nation, friends, that lasts even to this day, in spite of many attempts to destroy the nation of Israel. He gave them God's law. He established the priesthood. He established the government. He established the citizen or the system of judges. Friends, he built. He was the greatest nation builder one could ever hope for. Yet Jesus, friends, only spent 30 years on the earth, less than Moses had throughout the whole wilderness, three of which were only in office. Moses was in office for 40. Yet he turned the world upside down. He took 12 ordinary men with a group of about 120 other committed followers and established a way of life, friends, that has revolutionized this world. About one third of the world claimed to follow him in one way or another. His teachings have influenced almost every facet of life, even those fields which reject him today. Friend, Jesus can say, I'm the greatest, because he's a greater builder than even Moses. Number 6. Only Jesus can truly say, I'm the greatest, because he's a greater prophet than Moses. Moses, verse 5 says, was faithful as a servant in God's house, testifying to what would be said in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house. Simply two things. Moses spoke about the future. Jesus is the future. Moses was a servant. Jesus is a son. Friends, Moses was a great prophet. But Jesus, He is the prophet. He is the future. Finally, only Jesus can truly say, I am the greatest, because he is a greater deliverer than Moses. Verse 1 says, therefore, holy brothers who share in this holy calling. You see, friends, Moses pointed to the promised land. Moses could see the promised land. Jesus, friends, is the way to the promised land. What a great difference. He is a greater deliverer than Moses. So what does the Bible tell us? What does this passage tell us? Because Jesus is the only one who can truly say, I am the greatest. Verse 1 says this, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Friends, is Jesus the center of your thoughts? And then number verse 3 says, Jesus is found worthy of greater honor than Moses. Friend, is Jesus first in our lives? Do we give him the honor, the worth honor that he's worth? Do we give him all the glory? Friends, is he the greatest? Yes, he is. Fix your thoughts on him and give him greater honor than anything else you could in your life. Let's pray together. Lord, receive the honor due to you. There is none greater than you. On this Human Rights Day, Lord, you are the greatest human while being the greatest God there could be. Thank you that we can celebrate you both as fully God, but Lord, as fully man as well. We rejoice in the one who is fully God and fully man. Thank you for being our greatest. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as you go out through the rest of this day, friends, lift Jesus higher. Fix your thoughts on him. Stop thinking about other humans. He is the greatest human that has ever lived. Amen.